Hello and welcome to the Arizona Daily Sun. I'm Helen Hudgens Farrell and we'll be reading from the Arizona Daily Sun dated Tuesday, November 26, 2024. Looking at the front page, school continues tradition. Seacrest Elementary fifth graders host turkey drive. On Thursday, students and faculty gathered at Seacrest Elementary School to host their 18th annual turkey drive just outside the school parking lot. Seacrest Elementary worked in partnership with the Sunshine Rescue Mission to organize an event that gave back to the community by collecting and donating turkeys, a tradition in Flagstaff that everyone looks forward to during the holiday season. At the event, Flagstaff families were able to drive through the school's drop-off area and deliver their turkey donations from their windows as students collected and kept count of them. Only fifth graders were allowed to participate in collecting turkeys, but students of all grade levels were given the opportunity to be a part of the drive. Other students were encouraged to participate through small donations or signing up for the turkey bowling that was set up on the side of the school to play while their fifth grade friends ran the drive. J.L. Weidinger, a fifth grader at Seacrest, said she was excited to be able to participate this year. Each fifth grader was given a specific role to fulfill during the event. "I like my job at the front desk because it's really fun," Weidinger said. "I like seeing people's faces light up when they come to donate a turkey." At the event, roles for students included sign holders on the sidewalk advertising the drive, turkey runners who were grabbing donations from donors, front desk workers taking count of turkeys, and the students working with the younger grades at the bowling activity. Seacrest principal Heather Overton said, "This community service project gives students a sense of pride and emphasizes the importance of giving back. Giving back to the community has become a tradition for the Flagstaff community," she said. "That tradition is really important to Seacrest as a whole. We're at 150 turkeys. And that's 150 families who get to enjoy Thanksgiving." Overton said a day is not complete without tying everything to learning. Participating students collect data from the drive that is later used to build graphs. The children use this information to set goals for the next year's turkey drive. Last year, the goal was 150. But this year, the school looked to bring in about 200 turkeys. Fifth grader Cruz Favela said he liked his job as a turkey runner and liked being a part of something that involves helping others enjoying the upcoming holiday. "Thanksgiving is a famous holiday, and I get to see a lot of people get turkeys that are in need," Favela said. "It feels really good to see." Weidinger said she felt a lot of happy energy and was ready to help out any way she could. "All of the students look forward to entering the fifth grade to finally be eligible to participate in the turkey drive." This was Overton's first time being a participant in the event. She said she is grateful for the involvement of the students and the community coming together to contribute to this project every year. "I'm just really proud to be part of a community that wants to give back," she said. "I hope everybody continues to feel that pride in helping, and we can continue the tradition for years to come." Overton said the community involvement has been one of the best parts of this event, being able to make everyone feel included no matter what role they filled. Next, FFFC nears the end of eventful 2024. As 2024 nears its end, so does an eventful stretch of months for the Flagstaff Family Food Center. Balancing a multi-phased renovation, the relocation of its food distributions, and the official acquisition of the Grand Canyon Food Pantry, all in the final half of the year, the Flagstaff Family Food Center, or FFFC, has undergone a hectic and chaotic period. However, in no way should that be depicted as a negative for Ethan Amos, the president and CEO of FFFC. Equally fun, terrific, full of purpose, Amos said, this job is crazy as it is to keep up with the need, all the chaos and stress that are going to naturally be attached to that work. It's all worth it. It's easy to find purpose in the work we do. It's easy to remain passionate in the work we do. In fact, the past year has been the first during his tenure with FFFC where he and his team have made steps forward in addition to keeping up with the needs of Flagstaff, and most importantly, the Northern Arizona region as a whole. Currently in his third year with the nonprofit, Amos said he believes the team has completed real, meaningful work after learning together as a team in the first 2 years. FFFC remains well aware that the need for food continues to grow. Increased grocery prices and cost of living have continuously been factors in the years following the COVID-19 pandemic, with Amos and his team not caught off guard by the increasing importance of FFFC to the community. Saying that FFFC has been meeting the needs of its clients in the community while planning for the future at the same time, Amos noted the renovations as a crucial step forward. Considering the renovations to FFFC's distribution warehouse, including improvements to the loading docks and the parking lot, Amos said there's been an increase in efficiency and safety for the clients who arrive to receive food box distributions. Additionally, the development of a client advocacy department led by Summer Grandy has allowed FFFC to work toward change systematically while better educating the community and raising awareness as it relates to the cause of hunger in Northern Arizona. When people give to us, they don't just give to a bottomless pit of hunger. They give an investment into the future of Northern Arizona so that we can become a place where hunger is less of an issue, said Amos, who added that additional renovation work remains for FFFC's kitchen in 2025. FFFC's renovations did lead to temporary disruptions to its food distribution efforts this summer, something Amos said resulted in some of the center's clients being let down at times. Needing to relocate its central efforts to a temporary location along West Route 66, the renovation shifted FFFC to operate 5 miles across town. We're all very client-centric here. We keep our clients front of mind and our volunteers front of mind, Amos said. Sometimes running an organization that's very volunteer dependent, while we feed hundreds and hundreds of people a day, there's lots of room for error. We're not afraid to admit when we're wrong. Understanding their food distribution times and locations lead to clients building a schedule around when food can be picked up. Amos said FFFC is well aware how disruptions can lead to frustration and disappointment. Though FFFC offered multiple options for where distributions could be made during the renovations and worked to communicate changes or interruptions as best it could through text message and social media updates, Amos looked at the process as a learning experience. We know our clients had to be quite patient with us because their schedules oftentimes are dependent on when we're open, he said. They take their lunch breaks when we're open, and they plan on how far they have to drive across town. If they drive across town and we're not open, and they didn't know, it creates lots of problems for them. If you're hungry and you did your best to get food and you didn't get food because the organization didn't communicate well, or didn't plan well, it's frustrating. I know there were inconveniences during that relocation project. I know many of them were very frustrated. With the renovations in the warehouse location complete and distributions back to normal at FFFC, Amos said the path ahead should be smoother and more effective for clients across the region, not just within Flagstaff itself. Seeing Flagstaff as a regional hub to the rest of rural northern Arizona, as well as a border town, Amos said improvements that have been made to the Flagstaff locations and the acquisition of the Grand Canyon Food Pantry will improve the mission of feeding the region. With our mission of neighbors feeding neighbors, every day, we feel like Williams is our neighbor, Winslow is our neighbor, and Loop is our neighbor, and Tuba City and Grand Canyon, Amos said. We still were able to stay within our mission and serve the people we were already serving, just more strategically. Holiday volunteering and donations. With the annual Stuff the Bus event assisting FFFC and its needs for Thanksgiving and holiday food items, Amos noted that typical donation items are always appreciated regardless of the time of year. Among the most desired items are peanut butter, tuna, and other canned proteins, canned vegetables and soups, pasta and cereals. Monetary donations still can be the most beneficial for FFFC based on its ability to rescue food and receive distributions from various sources. Those looking to help can also donate their time as volunteers, an area of need in multiple ways for FFFC between distribution assistance and food preparation within its kitchen. Anyone willing to volunteer should be reliable, as people who sign up and end up no-showing without notice do more harm than good to FFFC's operations. Amos said FFFC is also looking to be strategic in its approach to potential volunteer options, with outreach to both the community and employers, focusing on how impactful a day of volunteering can be to both FFFC and the volunteers themselves. We are doing our best to outreach to the community and to employers, saying, hey, if you allow your employees to have 8 or 16 hours of volunteer time, this is what we can do. It's a great team-building opportunity for your team, Amos said. We're trying to be strategic in how we pitch the opportunity. For more information on FFFC's programs or to donate or volunteer, visit hotfood.org/programs. Now we have a series of stories on housing. Poverty with a View. Searching for more workforce housing. In addition to individual residents, Flagstaff employers have been affected by the city's lack of affordable housing, which some have been seeking ways to address in recent years. In 2017, Workforce Housing Study commissioned by the Economic Collaborative of Northern Arizona, or ECANA, found that this impacted the city's largest employers primarily through recruitment and retention. Employers surveyed for this study reported effects in both areas as their employees struggled to find housing they could afford in the city. Rising housing costs had especially impacted recruitment, with some employers saying they have had new hires decline positions they previously accepted because of an inability to find a place to live within their price range. Flagstaff employers have continued to report similar effects in the years since. At the beginning of 2024, the Arizona Historical Society cited an inability to hire as the main reason the Pioneer Museum has not reopened since its COVID-19 pandemic closure, with its director saying the society has not been able to offer salaries high enough to meet Flagstaff's cost of living. Northern Arizona Healthcare's plans for a new Flagstaff Medical Center campus still included housing as of March, which its leaders have said is meant to address needs both in the hospital's workforce and the wider community. Flagstaff's police and fire departments have in part attributed staffing shortages to cost of living, including housing. The Flagstaff Unified School District, FUSD, also listed cost of living as one of the reasons for the bus driver shortage that has affected its transportation offerings to students since last year, and several of its teachers made public comments at a meeting this spring on how Flagstaff's housing prices have affected their lives. Flagstaff resident Susan Axelrod decided to buy a home in the city in 2022 in response to the rising rents. Her current mortgage is about the same she would be paying as a renter, she said. Even in just the last 2 years, I've seen the rent go up. I've seen housing prices skyrocket, she said. I put an offer on a place downtown area-ish for full asking price. It was completely old, nothing had been done since 1969, and it needed work. And they got full asking price with cash. That's indicative of what's happening in the marketplace. It's completely unaffordable for young couples, singles, older people. Axelrod, who is self-employed, said she's able to afford living in Flagstaff because of a simple lifestyle, spending less on luxuries such as meal delivery and online shopping. I feel very, very fortunate to be able to be managing the costs and expenses, she said. It's obvious that the people who work here can't afford to live here, yet the people who live here need those people to work here, serve in restaurants, being store clerks, and managing the infrastructure in the city. So I think it's a very drastic need for there to be some kind of affordable housing. Rising wages, rising costs. Though Flagstaff's minimum wage has increased each year since the passage of Proposition 414 in 2016 and is set to do so again in January, a 2023 affordable housing needs from the Housing Solutions of Northern Arizona and the City of Flagstaff found that the area median income has increased at a lower rate than both fair market rent and the median sales price of homes. Between 2013 and 2023, it found that the area median income increased 46.5%, while the fair market rent for a two-bedroom apartment in Flagstaff rose 51.5%, and its median home sales price rose 135.8%. That assessment also found that Flagstaff's cost of living is 14.1% higher than the national average, and its cost of housing is 34.8% higher. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development lists Flagstaff's median family income for fiscal year 2024 as $85,900. The 2017 workforce study had found that over half, or 54.6%, of those surveyed, about 5,900 employees across 13 of Flagstaff's largest employers, were considering leaving Flagstaff because of the lack of affordable housing. More than two-thirds of this group, or 67.8%, were renters. Since 2015, Housing Solutions of Northern Arizona's Rental Attainability Report has found that someone making Flagstaff's minimum wage would need to work more than two full-time jobs to afford the average rent for a two-bedroom apartment in the city. The only two exceptions are in 2021, when the renter would need to work 77.7 hours a week, and 2020, when Housing Solutions of Northern Arizona did not publish a report. In 2024, it said a Flagstaff resident would need to work over 87.8 hours a week at minimum wage to afford the average two-bedroom apartment. It's not just minimum wage employees. Almost 39% of Flagstaff households were considered housing cost burdened in the assessment, meaning they pay more than 30% of their income toward rent. That includes 60.9% of renters and 20.7% of home buyers. And Housing Solution of Northern Arizona's 2024 Rental Attainability Report found that 86% of market rate rental units had increased their rents in the past 6 months. FUSD's average teacher salary, for one example, has risen in recent years and is still lower than the statewide average, while Flagstaff's average home and rental prices are both higher. On the school district's average salary, $55,727 for teachers in 2023, according to the Arizona Auditor General report, a teacher would be able to afford an apartment costing around $1,390 a month without going over 30% of their salary and becoming housing cost burden. That is slightly more than the average rent for a studio apartment in Flagstaff, and over $200 less than the average one-bedroom apartment listed in Housing Solutions Northern Arizona's Rental Attainability Report. The district has cited declining enrollment and state funding as part of the reason for its current salary levels, and it too is seeking affordable housing options for its employees. In August, FUSD approved a Vitalist grant that will fund a study on adding housing to district property. Employer housing efforts. The 2017 Econa report found that most of the employers surveyed had some kind of employee housing program, though they varied in scope and most were targeted at high-wage or hard-to-fill positions rather than all employees. Some shared information about local housing resources with new employees, while others offered relocation assistance or a temporary housing stipend. Similar to FUSD's current housing study, Flagstaff's higher education institutions have been exploring ways to add housing for employees. Coconino Community College is planning a workforce and student housing development in Page, and Northern Arizona University mentions workforce housing as a potential priority in its master plan for the Flagstaff campus. In a more rural part of Coconino County, Tuba City Regional Healthcare Corporation is in the process of constructing a new health clinic in Bottoway Gap between Tuba City and Page. Plans for the new facility include 92 housing units for the staff, 32 single-family homes, and 60 hotel-style accommodations. The City of Flagstaff started a down payment assistance program for police officers in 2015, matching up to $7,000 in down payment or closing costs for police officers and dispatchers buying a house in Flagstaff. This was a pilot that later expanded to all employees in the city, including to City Housing Director Sarah Darr. The city now provides up to $20,000 for a down payment or closing costs to eligible employees, forgiving up to half of that amount during 10 years of employment and owner occupancy. Employees that have not owned a home in the Flagstaff Metropolitan Planning Organization boundary in the last 3 years and have received a performance evaluation of meeting or exceeding expectations after at least 1 year of employment are eligible for the program. Participants also need to attend a homebuyer education course from Housing Solutions of Northern Arizona. Teacherage Program. The education service agencies for Coconino and Yavapai counties recently completed the pilot set of grants in a teacherage program, working with rural school districts across counties to create housing for new teachers. In the past 2 years, these grants have been awarded to 9 school districts across the 2 counties for the renovation of existing buildings into apartments, construction of new duplexes, and completion of other projects adding affordable housing onto district-owned property. These units are all dedicated for use by teachers who are new to the district. The agencies received a grant for around $7 million in November 2022 to pilot the initiative from the Arizona Department of Education as part of its ESSER funding. They used those initial funds to match up to $500,000 per school district on housing projects that will be finished by the end of this year. Coconino County Superintendent of Schools Cheryl Mango Paget said the initiative was inspired by workforce housing in the past. A small cabin in Pleasant Valley by Payson had been used as a teacherage, another term for teacher housing, in the late 19th century, according to the Pioneer Living History Museum website. By 1910, teacherages were all the rage in rural communities as it relieved local families of the burden of boarding the teachers in their homes and provided an incentive for a better quality of teacher to accept a position. With their version of teacherages across Northern Arizona, the two education service agencies are attempting to increase school districts' new teacher recruitment and retention rates. As of October 25th, Mango Paget said she and Yavapai County Superintendent of Schools were seeking additional funding sources to grow the TeachReach program and had identified a possibility for the end of this year that would allow school districts to apply for funding. We went away from mass workforce housing, but that is not a new concept at all, she said in April. We know when there's a revolving door of teachers, and we're always getting first-year teachers. That doesn't promote the best student success. Part of it goes back to the amount of money we all spend on onboarding and losing our teachers at the 3-year mark or the 5-year mark when they're just at the peak of being phenomenal because they have a couple years under their belt. You're tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona, and you're listening to the Arizona Daily Sun. The next story in the series, Poverty with a View, NAU researchers study effects of STRs. A group of researchers at Northern Arizona University, or NAU, is starting work on a project that will look at how short-term rentals affect Flagstaff's housing market. Joseph Little, an associate professor of economics, said he first began working with data related to short-term rentals, or STRs, 3 years ago with a focus on how the market is influenced by climate factors such as snowfall or wildfires. Little and other NAU researchers are now starting work to determine the impact of Flagstaff's STR market on local housing prices. They will be using data from AirDNA to look at how housing prices changed in relation to changes in state law and STR regulation passed by both the city of Flagstaff and Coconino County in recent years. The process will take time, he said, with the first findings expected in at least a year. Collaborators on the project include Economic Policy Institute Director Nancy Baca, Assistant Teaching Professor of Economics Mohammed Rahman and Ryan Fitch and CU Pan, who are both assistant professors in the Department of Economics, Finance, and Accounting. Little said he is hoping to include faculty from other fields as the project unfolds. Flagstaff and surrounding areas have a very, very active vacation rental market, he said, adding that the number of units on the market has risen over the past 3 years to a peak of around 2,400 rentals on the market this year. What really intrigued me about this data is in 2020, during the pandemic, you had so many individuals come up to Flagstaff and work by distance, he said. They were renting, and that really provided an impetus to increase from that point on the number of units that were becoming available to Airbnb and VRBO. Each season has a different draw for people to stay in STRs in Flagstaff. Snow play and skiing in the winter, NAU's graduation in the spring, escaping Phoenix's heat in the summer. Little noted that families book rentals 3 to 6 months in advance to attend their students' college graduations. A similar time frame happens for bookings during the holiday season, while summer rentals tend to have shorter lead times. We see a summer spike typically, and it does correlate with the number of days over 100 degrees in Phoenix, he said. There are areas around the city with a higher concentration of STRs. Downtown is one example. and others where there are hardly any, usually because of HOA restrictions. Given the community's perception, this is obviously a bit of a touchstone issue for the community, Little said. That's where we're trying to figure out what kind of potential impacts this market is having on housing prices, for example, and affordability. He said the researchers are also planning to study how STRs affect tourism and the benefits they provide to property owners. We're hoping over time that this becomes something that the community can look at and evaluate what we're seeing in terms of impacts, benefits, costs, things of that nature. And then the next in the series, NAU researchers working to address homelessness across Arizona. Homelessness in Arizona has reached a new crisis point. In 2023, more than 14,000 people were without shelter. That's a 29% increase since 2020. Help could be on the way thanks to grant funds that are fueling new research projects based at NAU and developed alongside community partners. Laura Knoll and Robert Whitman, both associate professors of psychological sciences at NAU, recently received more than $100 million in grants from the Garcia Family Foundation to lead three projects aimed at not only finding housing and support for unsheltered Arizonans, but also preventing future homelessness in the state. One of the reasons why homelessness is a huge issue in Arizona is because there's a ratio of 18 to 10. For every 18 people who become unhoused, we only have the capacity to house 10 of them, Wickham said. Service providers are overwhelmed, and it's important to support them as they're navigating this intense situation. The series of projects kicked off when Wickham arrived at NAU in 2021. Within weeks of his start, the statistical analyst was invited to join the Arizona Analytics Collaboration, a Garcia Foundation-funded research partnership between Arizona's three public universities. In the 3 years since, faculty members and graduate students at NAU, Arizona State University, and the University of Arizona have been leveraging state data sets, including the Homelessness Information System, to identify patterns that could help curb homelessness in the future. So far, we've been focused on understanding why Arizona's current support system is not working for a subset of folks, Wickham said. As the rates of homelessness in the state of Arizona continue to rise, it is critically important that we better understand the underlying challenges that lead individuals and families to become unhoused. Working with the Maricopa Association of Governments, the research group is examining the sequences Arizonans move through before and after becoming homeless. They recently discovered that unpaid utility bills are a key canary in the coal mine, a sign that people could soon struggle to keep up with rent. Wickham said in order to prevent these people from becoming homeless, he and his colleagues are facilitating communication between utility companies and organizations that provide support for low-income families who may come up short on other necessities like food or school supplies. Support for Northern Arizona. Wickham said the reach of NAU's work on homelessness will soon extend even farther. Last year, the Garcia Family Foundation reached out to him to ask if he had any ideas for expanding AZHAC into northern Arizona. That's when Wickham pulled in Noel, a trauma psychologist with experience solving complex problems through partnerships with community organizations. With a $400,000 grant from the foundation, Wickham and Noel established a Community Impact Fellows Program. The funds from the grant support master's students as they work with Flagstaff Shelter Services, Catholic Charities of Northern Arizona, and the Northland Family Help Center to help local residents who are unhoused and grappling with other complex issues like domestic violence and disability. The fellowship program isn't just giving students much-needed experience addressing the kinds of problems they'll face in their careers. It's also helping our community partners by meeting them where they are, Noel said. We're working with these organizations to identify and address what they see as their biggest challenges. In the 2023-24 school year, for example, graduate students embedded at Northland Family Health Center found that employee burnout was one of the organization's biggest challenges. Burnout led to frequent staff turnover and shortages, which made it harder for the domestic violence center to meet every patient's needs. This fall, the students will evaluate staff members' burnout experiences through interviews, analyzing the shelter's new employee training process, and examining an exit survey for those who leave. The grad students aim to pave the way for a brighter future at Northland for both employees and clients. Noel said PhD students and undergraduate lumberjacks are now involved too. Two interdisciplinary health doctoral students are drawing on prior experience with community-engaged research and trauma psychology to help evaluate statewide and local programs with a focus on implementing trauma-informed evaluation procedures. Alongside the Community Impact Fellows, they'll also mentor NAU undergraduate students looking to gain hands-on experience with research that benefits the local community. At NAU, we're always asking ourselves, what do students need to be economically mobile, future readiness trained, and to make good on their promise to help the community, Noel said. This program not only checks all of those boxes, but it also draws on the university's resources and the broader community's knowledge to create a better future in northern Arizona. Preventing homelessness. Noel and Wickham aren't stopping there. Together with nearly a dozen agencies throughout Arizona, we're working to help stop homelessness before it happens. For folks who are living really close to the margins, they're living paycheck to paycheck, Wickham said. If they can't get to work one day, say their truck breaks down and they don't have money to fix it, that means they can't get to the job site, and that suddenly throws their life out of balance. These are the people who are most at risk of becoming homeless. Wickham and Noel have been asked to lead a team that will disperse $10 million to nonprofit organizations that provide food, medical loans, and other services that Arizonans like these rely on to stay afloat. The funds come from the Garcia Family Foundation, St. Vincent de Paul, and the Arizona Department of Housing. We're going to track the outcome of folks who receive these prevention funds to find out whether they actually work in forestalling and preventing homelessness, Wickham said. If it works, it will not only keep people securely housed, but will also prevent people from suffering the knock-on psychological effects of homelessness. Why choose to focus on homelessness in Arizona? Because, Noel said, no one in the United States is immune to the possibility of losing the roof over their head. My view is that we are only as safe, healthy, and secure as our most vulnerable, marginalized, and underserved community members, she said. The COVID-19 pandemic showed us how interconnected all our healthcare needs are. In this area, the wealthy person and the unhoused person wound up in the same hospital being treated by the same doctors. We have a home in common, and that's reason enough to look out for each other. The next story, Amtrak station to begin reconstruction in 2026. Flagstaff was awarded a nearly $5 million grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation, or USDOT, to reconstruct the North Platform and add Southern Platforms to the Amtrak station downtown. A grant of $4.98 million was given to the train station, and a match from the city and BNSF Railway of $1.24 million was included for an estimated total of $6.2 million for the project. The project will be a part of the Downtown Mile, or DTM, group of projects that the city has planned. Other parts of that project include the Lone Tree Overpass project and the Downtown Connectivity Center. Christine Cameron, senior project manager for the DTM suite of projects, said the Amtrak station is expected to begin construction in 2026 and finish around 2028. The station will be usable to travelers while construction is being finished. The city appreciates the continuing partnership with BNSF Railway and the support of the U.S. Department of Transportation in funding these improvements, Cameron said in the press release. The press release also noted that the reconstruction of the North Platform is meant to increase accessibility measures and add safety precautions. The Amtrak station was not eligible for the same type of federal funding as the rest of the project in the DTM. The DTM was awarded a grant from the Infrastructure for Rebuilding America program, but the Amtrak station did not receive the same funding. As a result, Cameron said that the project for the Amtrak was delayed until funding was awarded from the Consolidated Rail Infrastructure and Safety Improvements program instead. It is a project that was scoped as part of the Downtown Mile Safety and Connectivity Project in 2022 to increase safety and efficiency of the rail corridor in conjunction with the other DTM improvements, Cameron said in an email. It was not eligible for the same federal funding program that was awarded to the DTM, so the platform component was deferred until funding was identified and awarded. Both are federal programs under the USDOT, but this project required a different avenue of funding. Recently, voters in Flagstaff approved Proposition 487 to continue the bedboard and beverage, or BBB, tax that goes towards various areas in the city's budget. None of the money from the BBB tax will go toward the funding of this project. Now for the briefs. Flagstaff conducts inventory of water service lines. Those without materials get notices. The city has been conducting an inventory of the location and material type of all city water service lines. City customers with service lines of unknown material received a mail notice this week from the City of Flagstaff with steps to help determine the material in the water service line. To date, the city has identified 60% of service lines and has not identified any lead lines. The city is working to identify all unknown lines. Until the service line inventory is complete, it cannot be said for certain that there are no lead lines. However, based on findings to date, it is unlikely that any lead lines will be found in Flagstaff. Further information on Flagstaff water quality can be found in the most recent Flagstaff Consumer Confidence Report. Slack Friday back in downtown Flagstaff on November 29th. The Flagstaff Downtown Business Alliance is bringing back its Slack Friday event again in 2024, with downtown businesses offering deals beginning on November 29th, encouraging local residents to shop locally while also avoiding the long lines and early hours of Black Friday shopping, Slack Friday offers a more relaxed shopping experience. Visit downtownflagstaff.org for more information, including participating businesses, which will list the deals offered for holiday shoppers. Additionally, the Flagstaff Downtown Business Alliance encourages locals to head back to downtown Flagstaff for Small Business Saturday on November 30th, with many deals still available by local businesses. The next brief by Talent Holding Holiday Blood Drive Thanksgiving Week in Flagstaff. By Talent will be holding a series of blood drives in Flagstaff Thanksgiving Week to continue supplying blood through the holiday season. Donors of all types are needed, according to the organization, which supplies blood to more than 90% of Arizona hospitals, including Flagstaff Medical Center. Blood donations Thanksgiving week are especially critical for maintaining a sufficient blood supply for patients leading into December, when busy holiday schedules sharply reduce the number of available donors, according to Vitalant. Emergencies and ongoing medical treatments that require blood don't take a holiday break. Those donating between November 25th and December 1st will receive a $20 rewards card and will be entered to win one of three $10,000 gift cards. Donors will also receive a voucher for a free pizza slice and soda from Fratelli Pizza. Three blood drives will be taking place at the American Legion Hall, 204 West Birch Avenue. They were set for noon to 5 on Monday, November 25th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., on Tuesday, November 26th, and from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Wednesday, November 27th. Findlay Toyota will be hosting another two blood drives in its showroom, 5030 Marketplace Drive, at the end of the week. These will be open from 1 to 5 p.m. on Friday, November 29th, and from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, November 30th. Those interested in donating can schedule an appointment at vitalant.org. The blood drive code for the American Legion is FLAG, and for Findlay Toyota is P2J88, or by scanning the QR codes on event posters. They can also call Vitalant at 877-258-4825 with any questions. And the final brief, Coconino County Court and Health Services offering availability on December 5th in Page. Coconino County Health and Human Services and Coconino County Superior Court will host an event from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Thursday, December 5th at the Page Justice Facility, 547 Vista Avenue. The event will offer residents in Page and the neighboring areas the opportunity to receive services without needing to travel to Flagstaff. No registration is required. From 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., Coconino County Superior Court will offer services including quashing an outstanding warrant, applying for a marriage license or a passport, filing a document with the court, reviewing court records, or paying any outstanding Superior Court fine or fee before hearings are conducted. Payments must be made with cash, a money order, or a cashier's check. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., CCHHS staff will be available to provide information and application assistance for the programs and services available to Coconino County residents, including diaper and financial assistance, opioid overdose prevention resources, family bargain center vouchers, repair or replacement of utility-related appliances, and/or assistance with budgeting, credit card debt, student loans, and more. Victim Witness Service, Catholic Charities, Ecompass, Health Services, and other local organizations will also be available. Anyone with questions related to court services is asked to contact the clerk's office at 928-679-7600. Call CCHHS at 928-679-7272 or visit coconino.as.gov/HHS for additional information on their programs and services. We have an obituary for Wanda T. Holmes. She passed peacefully with family by her side on November 20th, 2024. She was born on December 2nd, 1926. Services are December 1, 2024 at 2 p.m. at Norval Owens Mortuary. In lieu of flowers, the family requests supporting your favorite charity. Memory and condolences can be shared online at www.NorvalOwensMortuary. That's our news for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen Tuesday through Friday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 1 p.m. for more news from the Arizona Daily Sun. I'm Helen Hudgens Farrell. Good night and a blessed Thanksgiving.